Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Depths of your favorite television streaming services. Venture two adventurers who aim to find the worst of Netflix. They watch them, so you don't have to.
Hello there. That spooky intro can only mean one thing. Welcome back to the worst of Netflix. Now, straight off the bat, as we did reveal in the last episode that we did, we've actually gone to the depths.
Yep.
Depths.
Depths.
Of Amazon. Depths of Amazon Prime.
Yeah, the pits.
For this week's film, the pits of Prime. Mm. Yeah, the pissy pits of Prime, partner.
Good.
Yeah. So
new intro. Use that one.
I mean, yeah. Imagine that. Oh, have you heard this new podcast? It's the podcast that's called The Pissy Pits of Prime.
What? Ha, 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 ha.
What was that, pal? Yeah, anyway, we should probably get on with this podcast. There's obviously some little fella there that's done a little laugh.
Yeah.
My little buddy down under, Gaz. Okay. How are you? How's your week been?
It's been okay, mate. Became an uncle, so, you know, that's exciting.
Well,
I was. I mean, just in case my sister or my sister-in-law listens to this, they won't. They won't. I was already an uncle, yep. but now I became an yep. unofficial uncle, as of you, in a way.
Are we saying that on this? Are we saying this in a podcast?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean,
you can always edit it out.
Here's a thing. Here's a thing that should be acknowledged. Our listeners will be going, "What the heck? What the heck?" Because they'll be thinking, "I saw the schedule for this month's fan critical releases." And I wrote down the schedule in my diary. And I know for a fact that this podcast is supposed to be 60 minutes to midnight featuring the 3 Minute Men.
Wow.
What's happened, John?
Len's gone and stole a baby.
Yeah, he did.
From someone.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre because his missus is expecting. So Len's had a little baby.
Little fella.
So there you go. You know, you've tuned in, you've gone, oh, brilliant, they're doing another worse than Netflix. They're not waiting 6 months to do another one. So you're already happy. Congrats to, I won't say our leader, but certainly
he does
the most boring.
He does the most boring pod work.
Anyway, so as I've said before, we have gone to a different sewer, a different bin, a bargain bin, if you will,
yes,
for this week's film. Now, we're covering something this week that I've wanted us to cover for a long time. And as is kind of tradition with me on these podcasts, I tend to be the person that picks the film that's a treat. Whereas you just go through the IMDb of the Wayans brothers. But so this week, we've gone with the 2018 banger.
Yeah,
the Veloci Pasta. Yeah, boy. Yeah, actually, maybe stick the intro in the music in this film, honestly. So, talk to me, Gaz. You had the choice of three films last week. And picked this.
If I could turn back time.
Straight off the bat, Mm. Yeah.
That wasn't one of the options.
That's Cher, isn't it? Add that in as well. Was it a wise choice?
I guess it's hard to say because, surprisingly, I didn't spend my week watching Llamageddon and whatever the other film was. So
Killer Sofa.
Oh, my God. How could I forget? So I have no comparison points there. What I will say is I'm glad I've watched this film. I'm glad I've ticked that off.
Yeah.
A list of things to do in my life. Visit Machu Picchu, watch Velocipasta. Those were the top two, and now they're both done. So
I know. And it's amazing you get signal on Machu Picchu as well to watch it. But, you know, there you go. I wonder if there's a person on the planet that's watched Velocipasta at Machu Picchu. That would be... Maybe that's something we can do. So our Patreon listeners, what we're going to do, we're going to stick a tier in, and obviously you get like monthly donations. It'll be like, I think at the moment we're probably raking in like $200 a month. I'm probably not allowed to say that, but that is what it is.
Definitely more.
So if we can get that to $5,000 a month, I personally, or, you know, anyone else, maybe not Len because of the baby, maybe one of us. It would probably have to be one of us, given that this is the film that we've covered.
Yeah.
$5,000, if we can get up to that per month. But do you know what? We'll both go.
Let's go.
We will go to Machu Picchu. Little tablet. We'll download it, because we're not going to get any signal up there. And we'll watch Velocipasta.
Yeah.
At Machu Picchu. So there you go.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I was going to say, I'm definitely going. So, yeah. I'm glad that we can share that experience. I do have a baby due in a couple of weeks, though. So if we can do that super quickly, that would be ideal.
Yeah. So Patreon listeners, don't be selfish. Yeah. You know, he's got a baby on the way.
Yeah.
Could be any minute now. Who knows?
Oh, literally.
Anyway. Yeah. So I was going to go into reviews, but I genuinely want to get your thoughts on the film as a whole. Don't obviously give us a score, but look, if you pick a film called The Velocipasta, anything could happen.
Yeah.
What were your overall thoughts on the film?
All right. So no bloob scores yet, obviously.
No bloobs.
As is tradition. Yeah. Again, we do save that till the end here at the Pits of Prime. Now, we're still called the Western Netflix. I guess one of the things that I didn't expect with this, going into this film, is how annoying I would find it. And, like, it's an annoying film because it doesn't take itself seriously. It's obviously meant as a comedy to an extent. And so then it's like, but the problem with that is that you then have to go, all right, are the things that it's doing for comedic effect, are they funny? And I don't want to watch the Velocipasta going, is this actually funny? Or, and what was annoying is that some of the bits in there were quite well-written jokes. Like, there were times where I was like, this is actually funny. And then times where I was like, this is awful, which is also funny, but funny for a different reason.
Yeah.
That's why I find it an annoying film to talk about. I think I watched some sort of preview version of the film because there were moments, and I did send you a screenshot of this. Photo of my TV. saying VFX car on fire rather than actually giving us a car on fire.
It's good that.
Yeah, so I wonder if the final, obviously, like, edited director's cut version might be slightly slicker. It's very cheap.
And once they get that $100 million sign off, I'm sure it will be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Surely there will be a sequel. If there isn't already.
Definitely. I would have thought that's a stick on.
And that's got that's got serious budget potential. It was a fun watch, I'm going to be honest, and it was short, which is the thing that I'm most appreciative of. It was 70 minutes long.
Which is loved it.
Why this is one of my favorite of our worster Netflix viewings.
Easy. And it has to be said, I think this is going to be a quite short episode of the worster Netflix, simply because it is a short film.
Yep.
There's not a lot to talk about. I'll be honest. But I am glad that you've gone down the route of, I guess, is it trying to be funny?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or does it genuinely think it is funny? I get that. I get the, there's a conflict there.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, I mean, that's shit. So I'll crack up.
Yeah.
And then there's other bits where it's like, they actually think this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like they've gone out of their way to really, yeah. So I get that. And actually, that is on brand with the two reviews that we have.
Ooh.
So I'm going to go with the first review, which is from IMDb. It's a 10 out of 10, so a 5 bloob. The person who's reviewed this is Laneris. So Daenerys, but with an L instead of a D.
Yep.
Laneris 11.
yeah, okay. Of course.
So apparently it was 10 other Laneris's.
Yeah, yeah. There's a football team. The Laneris 11.
And the title is One Man's Trash is Another Man's Treasure.
Good.
This movie is without a doubt a masterful work of hilarious garbage.
Yeah.
The climax literally had me in tears. It was so good. This movie is very dumb and wonderfully done. I'd recommend it to anyone who loves stupid movies, as it aced the genre, in my opinion. I would definitely say it's self-aware. The script, acting, and plot are A1 material for those who love these type of films. It's just the right amount of stupid, and the length of the film was ideal for well-rounded entertainment.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm in love. This is a type of movie that would be best described as if a group of college film kids received a small grant, knew they shouldn't aim for Hollywood standards, and created a well-done, fun, and stupid movie. It's because of the understanding the creators had. I would say the undertaking of this film was genius. If you are looking for an actual good movie, this is not for you. But it is for those who enjoy low-budget sci-fi films like Sharknado, Rubber, and Evolution, or a very high-budget film like The Meg. So there you go. So I would say I'm kind of, yeah, I'm on that boat. I'm on that boat a little bit, I think.
Okay.
Like, I think it is, I mean, it is very self-aware. I mean, there's one bit in particular where it's like Doug. And it's actually my favourite part because I saw it in the trailer and I was like, this is going to be delicious, this film.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he just goes, what? What? That just cracked me up.
Yeah.
Just doubled up on the what.
Yeah.
And like the numerous like zoom-ins as well. The shaky camera zoom cracked me up.
But this, anyway. I think, I wouldn't say that it's very self-aware. I'd say it is self-aware a lot of the time, and then other times I'm like, do you know that's what annoys me. That's why it's not quite.
No, I get it. And look, Dave -946434
4278
I added the last three numbers just in case you want to go and look him up. But the subject is,
that's just his surname. He's Lithuanian.
Yeah. Look, you know, we will allow reviews from robots. So that's absolutely fine. So the subject here is bad in every way.
Mm.
And then a little full stop, which is rare in a subject. Not so bad it's funny, just bad. There was no attempt at realism, humour or logic. Just some homemade dino and ninja costumes, which were apparently worn by some senior citizens, judging by their fighting skills. So way below expectations. Worse than the trailer, which I didn't see first, but it's on YouTube. Sometimes this type of movie can be surprisingly creative or ironically funny, but this is 100% dud without redemption. Unless it was made by junior high students, in which case, B+, since you guys learn to film and edit. Now take a writing class.
Oh,
so there you go.
Sting. Sting at
Dave's
the end.
Not happy.
Dave the Scorpion, yeah. 32849B, as we call him.
And then there's a link to Dave 946434's writing class, which he's peddling on IMDb. Yeah. He's written the exact same review for Pulp Fiction. So there you go.
Good.
But yeah, so pretty scathing. Pretty scathing.
Yeah, he's not happy. He's not happy.
Yeah, I'm harsh.
I'm somewhere in between, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not as angry as Dave. I'm probably, yeah. Look, I won't say too much because I don't want to give you my blueberry score. But you can probably guess where it's at.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you've not yet watched The Velocipasta.
What?
Which I'm assuming is going to be...
What?
I'm assuming most people would not have seen it. But, you know, have no fear, because last episode, Gaz decided to introduce a new format.
Yeah.
Where we basically have 60 seconds to cover the entire plot of the film.
Mm.
Now, when I first did this, I did it in two sentences. But, I mean, that would have killed the format dead.
Yeah.
So I strung it out a little bit. Because genuinely, 60 seconds to describe a film, which is basically, you know, priest, revenge, dinosaur, prostitute, ninjas, end. You know, it's like, it's pretty tough. But anyway.
I mean, perfect. That's well done.
Well, yeah. Well, there you
here's
go.
Here's our 6-second summary.
Yeah. So I've tried to string it out. I think it will be 60 seconds. Like, do you know what? It might even be a little bit longer. You know, I'll let you count me in, Gaz. You can time me if you want.
I'm going to. Look, I've got the timer going, ready to go. I'm excited.
Right, we'll start it as soon as I say the word Doug.
What, then? Should I have started it already?
No. Right, okay. So, all ready?
Are you still got it? You're on 40 seconds left.
Oh, I'll just use my 6-second summary if we're going to be like that. Anyway. Right,
okay, I'll get cool. Ready. I'm ready. As soon as you say Doug, I'm hitting start.
Clear the old throaty. Doug, a priest, watches his parents die in a car fire with no visual effects. His mentor, Father Stewart, tells him to go travelling, where he finds an artifact that turns him into a dragon warrior. Doug begins having nightmares and goes out into a forest late at night as he transforms into a dinosaur. He saves Carol Hooker from being mugged. She tells him to use his new power to fight crime. He refuses. Back at the church, he kills a pimp who is responsible for killing his parents. Cue montage of Doug, Carol enjoying each other's company. Father Stewart tries to remove Doug's power through exorcism. This fails and Father Stewart is seemingly killed by Doug. Doug and Carol have sex, then fight ninjas. Turns out ninja leader, Wai Chang, has Father Stewart, who isn't dead, then kills him anyway. Doug and Carol fight the ninjas. One of them is Doug's younger brother. Doug kills him anyway. Carol is seemingly killed by a giant ninja. Doug turns into a dinosaur and kills everyone, including the head honcho, Wai Chang, who he beheads. Doug takes Carol to hospital. She is fine. The words say, she is fine.
Is that
Doug
it?
And Carol travel the earth fighting criminals. The end.
Oof. Sorry. Look. I'm going to admit to some interference there, accidental interference, because you froze on my end and I thought you were finished. And I was like, you haven't finished the movie yet, mate. But then it seems like that was a glitch. So you got there in like 53 seconds. Very good.
Well, there you go. There you go.
That's impressive.
But that is, do you know what? I'm annoyed that I was that quick because I had to cut out the entire Vietnam flashback.
That's fine. Why is that
But that's it. Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? So there you go. Doug, a priest, you know, his parents die. He screams, no! And obviously the you know, the pain is sort of taken away for the viewer when you're just staring at no visual effects or the words like car on fire.
Car on fire. Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
That's the sequel to Man on Fire that you pitched.
The threequel. So yeah. But that's it. That's the film. That is the end of the film.
Yeah.
So I feel like
we're done.
We can probably go into talking about favorite scenes, and I'll let you lead off. Like, you know, you've said that there are some things that you thought, yeah, pretty funny. Some things that you're a bit unsure because you're like, are they trying? Is it too good? And then it's rubbish, like sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I'll let you go.
I think that there are a couple of moments in this film that are genuinely quite funny and sort of reminded me of, this is such a niche reference that none of our listeners would have seen, but some bits reminded me of like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which
100%
is fantastic. That is amazing to watch. Anybody?
Yeah, that is a great shout.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe it speaks to my level of maturity, but there's a scene where the old like ninja master and the guy that turns out to be Doug's brother are doing like the little laughing thing that is done a lot. It's done a lot in comedy films where the yeah. bad guy laughs and then his like sidekick or little minion sort of pretends to laugh along. Mm. But this one was quite unique, and just the myriad of ways that they laugh, and the way that it kept going, did that thing where it's like this was funny to start with, then it kept going and it became unfunny, but then it kept going even longer than I expected, so it became
Dragged
funny
it back.
Again.
Yeah, it became funny again. Yeah, I 100% agree.
Yeah,
and also again, like the camera work during that scene, just bizarre, like pan ups and close ups. Like, I just loved it. It was so funny. I genuinely thought it was hilarious.
So, I thought that was great. Can I give you a scene that I didn't think worked though?
Oh, go on.
Scene that I thought was shit because it was. I don't know, but this is one where they definitely
mince your words.
They were trying to be funny with it, and I was like, "See, this is the thing. You're not a comedy writer. This is not made by a comedy film crew." And it was the whole Vietnam flashback. Like, as a concept, that's quite funny. Putting in this Vietnam flashback for absolutely no purpose is quite a funny idea. Yeah, it's like Doug's mentor, so he's another priest who's, you know, a fair bit older than him. Grey hair with a moustache, and like the way that the makeup or whatever is done.
Big signifiers of old.
Yeah, absolutely. But the way that him in Vietnam is just exactly the same, but his moustache is now blonde. That's quite funny.
Yeah.
Actually, talking about it, I'm a bigger fan of this scene than I thought.
Yeah, it is funny. And what would have worked even better is if you could just see he still had his priest costume on underneath. Like, that would have cracked me up.
Still got the collar.
But that's... Yeah. It would have been good. It is such a bizarre scene, the Vietnam thing. But I also think it is quite clever. Because it is just taking the piss out of the whole, like, you know, Doug's mentor has, like, a murky, like, past. But it doesn't mean anything for the film. I quite like that.
No.
I quite like that it's during the exorcism. So you get this flashback and you're assuming where it's placed is going to at least show, like, Father Stewart... how he meets this bizarre guy that's doing the exorcism.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
Well,
like,
so just as a reminder, the exact line before we go to the Vietnam flashback is, from the mentor saying, what's his name? Is it Stuart or something?
Father Stuart.
Yeah, Father Stuart. Yeah. Saying,
I haven't had to come to Altair in years. Not since
I went to China.
The war.
And then we go to the flashback of him in Vietnam. Yeah. And then it never connects the dots between the war and him being in Vietnam and him going to Altair or whatever his name is. So, defies
so there you go.
Convention and expectations.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And that's why it's such a smart film.
It is.
That long speech with that guy that's like his best buddy who then just gets shot in the face or whatever it is.
Ali.
And then it's like his wife or his girlfriend turns up out of nowhere.
Adeline!
James! And she's well old at this point as well, so God knows what they were supposed to be doing there. And she obviously just explodes all over him.
Yeah.
But then he's too mad. I mean, they're clearly filming in a fucking park somewhere in the US, which made me laugh as
definitely
well.
Definitely not Vietnam.
Definitely not Vietnam. And that's fine. You know, the budget can only go so far. And apparently the budget can't spring, you know, an adult-sized shotgun. Because the guy standing to his left is holding the smallest pump-action shotgun I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Unless he's a massive guy, I don't know. But the way he's holding it as well, it's just like it must weigh like nothing. Just a bit of crappy bit of plastic or something. And the way they just sort of casually just come over and comment on the fact that his wife's just exploded. That did make me laugh.
There's nothing we can do for her now.
Yeah,
she's too far gone.
Yeah,
she's
too far gone.
Yeah,
she's too far gone.
So I do know that actually.
So yeah, it was a bizarre scene.
A lot of this film.
Go on.
If you stayed to watch the credits, which I obviously did, a lot of this film is filmed in Riga in Latvia. So I don't know if they went right. What's a cheap alternative to going to Vietnam? Let's go to Latvia.
There you go.
Where, how? Why?
That's bizarre.
Latvian forests are not the same as Vietnamese.
Yeah. I mean that's a good point. Like I did look at parts of this film, and it did feel like some of it was quite like I don't want to say the word European because that's not quite right, but it didn't look like Middle America. I mean, parts of it did. So yeah, like honestly, there are parts like that bit where he's walking through the car park after Vietnam. I thought it was like a car park in the UK somewhere.
Yeah,
and that may very well have been filmed in the US, or it might have been filmed in Riga. That would make a lot of sense.
Hmm.
Okay, the Vietnam scene didn't work for you, even though when you talked about it, it's quite hilarious.
Yeah.
What do you make of these? So there's a couple of scenes. Right at the beginning, you've got him talking to Father Stewart, and it just goes so that they're both sitting there in the middle of the screen.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's got point of view shots, close-ups of their face, one on the left, one on the right, and the lighting is like green and red.
Yeah.
I'm starting to question my faith.
It's because your world has changed. You should travel, Doug. Discover how others live. I think it'll do you good.
And what if they put this in here? Like, it's bizarre.
When I saw that, I was like, I can't. I'm really glad I'm not hosting this because I have no idea how I would explain this scene. I think you've done a pretty good job. It's bizarre.
Very Garth Marenghi again.
Very Garth Marenghi. So Garth Marenghi. It's so, yeah, I mean, it's a bit like a Queen music video as well, if you imagine that, like just sort of their faces. Just, but then they maintain the shot of the two of them talking in the middle of it as well.
I think it's synced up as well. I genuinely think it looks synced up.
And then towards the end, they lose it, and that then it becomes even funnier. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what like to what end have you done this? Is it for comedy value? If so, well done. And this again. It's my problem. I don't know if it is. I don't know if that they did that for humour. If they did, it's very
but
good.
Again, they. So then later on, you've got the scene with Doug and Carol where they make love. Again, it goes to this, like you get like multiple, almost like comic book-esque, like splitting up of the screen, different shots, screen wipes, different things happening at different times. Again, with that red and green light, I don't know...
What is
that symbolic of?
It evolves into giving you an entire frame-by-frame recap of the entire movie up till that point. It's very fast-paced, but every single shot that has appeared in the film appears in this montage for some reason. It's terrific.
Again, I was sort of looking at it. I mean, and I'll tell you why it is rubbish. Is it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is going on here? Why are they doing this? What I actually thought it was going to be, which I think would have been funnier, is like really gratuitous, like sex. That's what I thought it was going to be. Like, kind of like the 80s horror films where it's like over the top sort of. You know, when you get like, not necessarily in a Jason, like Friday the 13th movie, but, you know, when you get teenagers just running around and it's like, oh, she's got her boobs out for literally no reason. Yeah. I thought it was going to be that sort of over the top. You know, he's obviously a priest, but suddenly now he's a Lothario and he's going all night because obviously he's the dragon warrior as well. Yeah. And that's part of the power that you get.
That's cool.
That's what I thought we were going to get, and I thought that would have been funnier. So I don't know what they were thinking with the red and green stuff, but hey, you know, there's obviously a message there that I'm not smart enough to read through.
No, you're not on the level.
Yeah, I think we need to address this costume. Now, obviously, it is a raptor. It does sort of look like a mini T-Rex as well, but just because he's a bit weighty. And I think, you know, when you've watched Jurassic Park, you get used to raptors being quite skinny and quick. This is a lumbering idiot in a very cheap-looking dinosaur costume.
Yeah.
And again, for comedic effect, I absolutely get it. I sort of wish... they'd have gone the route of like really shit CGI. That I think would have made me laugh more. But obviously they couldn't even afford to have a car on fire. So, what did you make of their decision to go with a clearly just a crude shit dinosaur costume?
I think they leaned into it, which is good. There's a scene at the end that makes me think. That this was a conscious decision rather than just a budgetary decision. And it's the line when he goes, I mean, it means nothing without context, probably, but we'll try it anyway. When he says,
"Yeah,
I think my hand is immune."
Then he's still got his velociraptor claws. So he's regular Doug. Now, but he's got his velociraptor claws, which I think
he rips Wai Chang's head off, which is I absolutely love that. I mean, you're talking about leaning into things. The fact that it just shows this shit mannequin close up on the screen.
Stop zooming in on it.
Yeah,
like that's you're not helping yourself.
Oh
but...
my god, he's ripped his head off. Yeah, but again, that would have been funnier to me had it just been from behind. Like, okay, a little glimpse of the fact that it's a crappy mannequin with some over-the-top eyebrows.
Yeah.
Very similar to mine, actually. Just stuck on to the mannequin's head. But to then just a close-up of it on the floor, it's just like, fucking hell.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, it is what it is.
But yeah, look, I mean... Like you've said, visual effects were obviously beyond the budget of this film, and therefore they are, unless they're going to get a real raptor, a real velociraptor in, it does become tricky. So, yep, heading to Kmart and picking up. I mean, it was so lumpy. That's the problem with it. It's a very lumpy looking dinosaur, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there are some bits that are quite genius where the ninjas are sort of like tripping over its tail and stuff.
Yeah.
And just sort of jumping around to make this lumbering idiot look like quite devastating.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that Carol is obviously a ninja as well as a hooker.
Nowhere.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm. And she obviously she's got that uniform as well. So she turns up looking like Lara Croft or some shit.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, and I guess maybe we'll get into characters now, and I'll start with Carol.
Hmm.
Now, this might say more about me than it does the film.
No doubt.
She's the most unconvincing prostitute I think I've ever seen in any film ever. She's too clean. There's nothing rough around the edges about her. She's a hooker, for fuck's sake.
No, listen, mate. Like, you don't understand, okay? Because she is a lawyer doctor who has to...
I forgot about that.
...has to take to prostitution to fund her way through college.
You think I like turning tricks to pay for college? There's surprisingly little demand for hooker doctor lawyers.
Which
yeah.
is the age-old problem. How do you fund your lawyer doctor studies?
Look, I'm a lawyer doctor. How are they ever going to take me seriously when they know I was a prostitute? Before this as well. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Is she too good for this film?
She's all right. She really is all right. 100% thought she's the best actor in the film.
Oh yeah.
Has she done anything else?
Have you looked into that? No, I haven't looked into it. I did look into the guy that played Doug. Mm. And I think the most surprising thing I saw about him is that he did some voice acting work on Red Dead Redemption 2. I was like, how's he got that? although I looked at it and it was just like generic crowd people. I was like, fucking hell. Not even one of the main people.
Yep, thanks for that, Doug.
Hey,
you can leave now.
Yeah. Please leave. And take your red and green lights with you. So, she's quite good. And actually, maybe that adds to it. Maybe, you know, the fact that she is... taking her acting quite seriously in a film where it doesn't need it.
Mm.
Maybe that makes it funnier.
Yeah.
I guess it does.
Yeah.
So she's pretty good. What about our lead? What do you reckon? What do you reckon of Doug?
He's way too buff. It's not appropriate.
Yeah, but that's hilarious though, isn't it?
He should not be a priest. That shouldn't be allowed.
Again, it's hilarious. Like, I mean, the bit where they have the little montage and he starts working out.
Yeah.
It's like, one, why is he work? He's a dragon warrior. He's like, he could just turn into a raptor. Why does he need to work out? I'm confused. That's bizarre. Imagine that. You don't get like fucking Peter Parker's like, right, I've been bitten by a spider. I better start going to the gym. It's like, no, you don't need to, mate. I thought the whole point was to go out and stop criminals. You're fucking wasting time with a gym membership, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
He is way too buff to be a priest.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. I love it. I mean, what's he fucking bench pressing? Like, the body of Christ? Like, I mean, come on. Honestly. It's mental.
Good doubt.
I've not written that, by the way.
Yeah, that's...
do you know what? I thought he was hilarious. And I was going to tweet him. I did forget, but actually I didn't forget. I didn't want to tweet him because I didn't want you to see me tweet my thoughts on the film. Mm-hmm. So I will tweet him after this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I was genuinely going to do? What? As a little surprise.
Ask him to join us.
I was going
to
tweet him and get him to jump on this podcast.
Oh my God.
Now, and to further surprise you, He is jumping on.
No, he's not.
So bear with me 2 seconds. No, he isn't really. I have one more character that I want to discuss. I mean, you can open it up to discuss Father Stewart if you want, but this pimp, what would you make of him?
What's his name? Billy Mermaid or something?
Yeah, something. Yeah, Billy Mermaid, I think, is probably correct. Yeah, that Mermaid something.
Frankie Mermaid.
I did not understand.
You call me Billy Mermaid, because I'm swimming in bitches. That's right. Some shit like that.
That's the line. Yeah.
Now, what's my name?
Frankie Mermaid.
And why is my name Frankie Mermaid? Speak up, girls! I'm gonna give you the fucking boot.
Cause you're swimming in bitches.
You're goddamn right.
I didn't understand him at all. I think the big joke with him is that he's balding on top, but has long greasy hair. But then he takes his hat off and he has no hair on top of his head. So that's the funny thing about him.
Always good.
His death scene was quite funny, to be fair. I mean, he gets clawed at by the Velocipasta, and then proceeds to sort of scream in an ungodly
spends
manner.
Ages dying.
for ages. And that's him done. there is a shot of him. They reveal that he reveals, in fact, that he was the one who killed Doug's parents. And there's a shot of him watching the car explode. It's just bizarre. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing with his body. He's like sort of
he's all like hunched over.
Hunched over. Like rubbing his legs or something. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah. What's funnier is I'm assuming that the point is that he's standing at a different part of the road watching this car explode that obviously doesn't because of budgetary reasons.
Yeah.
He's standing in the same spot where the whole thing happens.
He's got the same background.
Yeah.
That's quite funny.
It would have been funnier if, like, as he's standing there, part of that VFX was still visible, like just to the right of the camera frame. Yeah, that would have been quite funny. Yeah. Do you know what? I mean, given that he's in it for 5 minutes tops, like screen time wise. I thought he was pretty funny. He sort of reminded me of I wouldn't be surprised if he was the one that directed the film. He really seemed like he was enjoying himself.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Tarantino-esque bizarre cameo in a film where it just doesn't really make sense. That's kind of what he reminds me of.
Yeah.
But he does his job. He does his job. I thought he was good.
Hey, instead of using the time that you've put aside for me to possibly discuss other characters, can I give you a couple of classic lines? If you remember, was it when we did Westworld? We had worst line of the week.
Worst line of the week, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to narrow that down here, but there are a couple that I thought would be worth mentioning. One of them is, I'm not going to give much context here, but Father Stewart says,
"What did that Chinese say?
How's that a sentence? What did that Chinese say? You can't say that.
Hey, look, it's just being honest, all right? No, he can, I think.
Yeah, okay. He's been to Vietnam, he knows.
He's a Vietnam vet. Yeah. He's a Vietnam vet. He knows exactly what it's like.
The other one I wanted to mention is this classic. This, if you were to give a bit of dialogue that summed up the film, this is it. Mm. So this is Carol and Doug talking, and Carol says,
I don't know much about God.
And Doug says, I don't know much about dinosaurs. It's just great. That's just excellent.
Look, honest. What do you mean?
And then the only other one I wanted to say, just because it's a complete lie, is there's a scene after Doug and Carol have made love, and we've had that brilliant montage. They're lying in bed together, and all these ninjas jump in through the window. Carol reveals that she's actually a super ninja, as is Doug. They beat up the ninjas. Yeah. And one of them, with his dying breath, says, Remember your faith. And then dies. Anyway, we cut away to another scene, come back, and Doug, there's like a voiceover of Doug just saying, good thing that ninja told us where the hideout is before he died.
Good thing that ninja told us where the hideout was before he died.
Like, well, he absolutely didn't. We saw him die, and he didn't say that. That's a lie. Nonsense. Yeah. Don't lie to us.
But again, you know, but it's funny, isn't it? It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like, if this was a Garth Marenghi film, you'd be like, I love that.
Yeah, that is true. That would be in best lines of the week.
I've completely forgot to mention this doctor at the end of the film.
Oh, yeah, what's that? So weird. Why is that a thing?
So he comes in, he's a very casual doctor.
Yeah.
Very sure of himself. He's just like, yeah, look, you know, she's fine. She's absolutely fine. You know, she was sliced in half with a samurai sword, but hey, do you know what? She's fine. Sits there, lights a cigarette. He's got the little thing on his head that falls down as soon as he sits down and covers his eyes. And then he has to adjust his headgear. It's brilliant.
That was good.
He's just such a casual doctor, and he sits there feeling like looking so smug with himself.
Maybe he's the director.
And then just lights up a cigarette. He might be the director.
Yeah.
He might be. Yeah. Maybe it was him and Billy Mermaid joint. It'd be like the new Wachowskis or some shit.
Yeah, that's it.
Or the Farrelly brothers.
But then also with that, Doug then goes and sees Carol, who had died in the previous scene but is now fine. And she confirms that she's fine. And then in massive letters on screen, it says, she's fine.
Yeah.
Not sure why.
Well, look, you know, just in case you're not sure.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
You're fine.
Cool. All right, well, let's get on to Bloob scores, because I cannot believe we've run to this time, to be honest. But so anyway, do you know what? I'm going to go first this time.
Hmm. Selfish.
I'm going to keep it very, very short. I think this is by far the best film that I've seen in the worst of Netflix saga, let's say. Probably over the top, but I like it. A lot of this film is hilarious, and sitting here talking about it, I think I enjoy it more now, retrospectively thinking about it, than I did at the time.
Yeah,
it's also very, very short. You know,
yeah.
I think it's an hour and 10 minutes, but 5 minutes of that are the credits. I also love the absolutely bonkers soundtrack to this film, because we haven't mentioned it, but it is mental. Like, it's so over the top, like Rocky. I mean, the fact that he's in a car driving around in, I think, China on his travels. His parents have obviously just been blown up, so he's pretty distraught. He's in this car, he's got rock music on, he's loving it. He's tapping the wheel and everything. It's like, you know, like he's just won the lottery or something. He is a cool priest. So it's so stupid. And that sort of sums up the entire film for me. It is very stupid, but it's a hilarious kind of stupid for me. It's the sort of thing I love. And you were absolutely spot on to reference Garth Marenghi, because that is what this is.
Yeah.
And I still rewatch Garth Marenghi's Dark Place now, because I find it hilarious.
It's brilliant.
So, and unique. Very unique. So I'm actually going to give this 3 bloobs.
Wow. Do you know what's mad? Is that is more blueberries than Len thinks The Princess Bride deserves. That's fine.
I think Len would give this 3 bloobs.
Yeah, he would prefer this to Princess Bride, which is nuts.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, no, look, you speak a lot of sense, and I have to agree, talking about it has made me like the film a lot more as well. And some of the bits that I thought sort of annoyed me actually do make me laugh now that I think about it. I would say, though, that there is a bit of a lack of consistency in how straight this is being played by some compared to others, which just causes it to fall through the cracks a little bit when you compare it to something like Dark Place. It's not my favourite of the films that we have watched. If I was to go back and watch any film that we've talked about on Worst of Netflix, it's still Alienator. I had a genuinely good time watching that, and I would happily watch that again. Velocipasta, maybe my favourite thing about it is that it's 70 minutes long, which, you know, that's not a positive.
Yeah.
That said, I laughed a few times watching it, and I didn't hate those 70 minutes. I'm going to give it 2 blueberries, which I think it more than deserves. If I was to have spoken about it in a little bit more detail, I'm glad we didn't. I would worry that I would end up giving it 3 blueberries and regretting giving out certain blueberries to it. But I think it deserves those 2 bloobs. I'm content with that score.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And look, like, context is everything with these films. In reality, they're probably all 1 or 0 bloob. But... because some people, I'm sure some people say, oh, but you gave, like, Avatar... 3 bloobs. This isn't as good as Avatar, and it's like, no, but it's context, isn't it? I might even have given Avatar 2 bloobs, I can't remember, but again, it's the context of what you're watching. Like, as ever, it's time for you to reveal, you know, at this time you've said I've got a choice, why don't you run through the choices and I'll pick our next film.
Well, you know, I've been inspired by our delve into the pits of Prime. Each of these films is sort of, it all follows a similar theme. And this theme, I think you're going to have a good time with these, with whichever one you pick. We're going old school. We're going seriously old school.
I've seen it. Seen it, mate.
Yeah. The most recent of the 3 choices that you have is a 1968 movie.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And these 3 films that you can choose from are all available on Amazon Prime, at least in Australia, and I'm going by that rule because, by the way, I didn't tell you this, but Velocipasta is not. Maybe I'll go chronologically for you, all right? Option number 1 is a 1953 movie. In the not too distant future of 1970, the United States is considering building bases on the moon and send a female colonel and 2 men to investigate. One of the men turns out to be a foreign spy, and the entire operation and the future of the free world is in danger. And that's the 1953 Project Moon Base. Running at 1 hour and 3 minutes, and receiving an IMDb rating of 3.3.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But a short film.
Could be
a front runner. Short just film. Through runtime.
But you've got to say that synopsis is not inspiring, and certainly not as inspiring as the others that are coming. So, not that I'm not trying to influence your decision. Just, you know, you go with what you feel. But next in line, we have the 1957. Movie, The Astounding She Monster. Alright, here's a little storyline for you. Crooks take over the country house of a geologist after they have kidnapped an heiress, where they plan to hold her ransom. Where they plan to hold her until the ransom is collected. Soon. Well, this is such a detail. Sorry, I'm just reading ahead now. I'm like, wait a second. No, we're all right. Soon, they hear an explosion in the woods nearby that turns out to be a spaceship containing a glowing blonde alien with a skin-tight metallic suit, high heels, lipstick, and incredible eyebrows. Much like yours, John. She kills with her touch, which contains radium poison.
Oh, much like me again, yeah.
Much like you. That's 3.7 on IMDb. Doesn't appear to have a running time. Oh no, an hour and 2 minutes. There we go. We've tapped into a.
Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
this is good.
This is better.
Yeah.
Okay, but 1968, so slightly more contemporary. But as an option for the pretty poor pits of Prime Pal, we have the planet of prehistoric women. It's just women, but voyage to the planet of prehistoric women. Astronauts landing on Venus encounter dangerous creatures and almost meet. I love this so much. I'm just gonna start again. Astronauts landing on Venus encounter dangerous creatures and almost meet some sexy Venusian women who like to sunbathe in hip-hugging, skin-tight pants and she shall... that's a tongue twister. Brasseries.
Yeah. Well, a lovely steak, this. Yeah.
So that's the planet of prehistoric women. So you've got Project Moonbase, 1953, The Astounding She-Monster, 1957, and The Voyage to the Planet of Prehistoric Women, 1968. That's got a score of 2.9 on IMDb. And it's an hour and 18 minutes long.
See, that is disappointing. Okay, so, I mean, I think despite the runtime... I think let's go on a voyage to Venus.
Yeah.
I think let's take the worst of the Netflix to the scantily clad world.
Well,
of the Venusian women.
They almost encounter them. Let's do that. So brilliant. Yeah. Well, coming up next, voyage to the planet of prehistoric women.
But no, I'm looking forward to that. I am looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And I'll up my game in terms of, you know, Venus based space puns before them.
Please do.
But that does bring us to a close. So cheers, Gaz.
Cheers,
mate. If you have enjoyed this episode, listeners, do send us your feedback. Send us your feedback, okay? Because I haven't had any of the last three episodes. It's slightly pissing me off, but, you know, it's fine. You're busy. That's absolutely fine.
We know we've got listens.
But if you do have any thoughts...
We've got listens, which is nice. Yeah. So that's lovely. Keep listening.
Yeah, I can see you.
Yeah.
Right? And I know where you're based, Chicago.
Yeah. That's right, you know, Chicago listener.
Yeah. Yeah, you Chicagoan, you scantily clad Chicagian, I think is what they're probably called.
Yeah.
Send us your thoughts at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Twitter, fancriticalpod. No one messages us on Instagram apart from just bots that are like, promote this on blah blah records. It's like, can you go away, honestly? Yeah.
Every time I get tagged in one of those, I'm like, oh brilliant, we've had a lovely listener give us a little message or a bit of feedback, and it says promote your podcast on A12 podcasts.
Yeah. No. Cheers, mate. And also, by tagging me out there, it makes my profile look more active than it is. Honestly, seconds later, some girl messaging me on Instagram going, hey man, in a group of about 50 other losers, going, hey, do you want to see my hot body? Come to this page for cams. And it's like, no, all right, I'm already paying for four others. Leave me alone.
Okay.
And, you know, for me to be able to keep paying for these scam pages, if you want to donate some dollars, you can. At our Patreon page at patreon.com/fancritical. And again, you know, if you do subscribe on there, drop us a message, you know, and give us your feedback in terms of stuff you want us to cover. You know, we're open. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Gaz, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, no worries. And that's it. You know, so I look forward to going on the voyage to Venus in, you know, maybe 6 weeks' time, let's be honest, because this is the quickest we've done back-to-back Worst of Netflix ever. We are getting a bit slick at it. They're not 2.5 hours anymore. But look, thanks for listening. Stay safe and look forward very soon to another episode of The Worst of Netflix. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.